I'd like to welcome Leon Rozanov discussing digital technologies as a core of social organization of the future. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I'd just like to thank the organizers for this opportunity and everybody for your attention. So let's start, and we'll talk about two main topics here. Democracy and digital automation. And everything in this talk revolves around these two issues. And the point I'm trying to make is that digital automation is an elegant and logical solution to the problems of democratic running of a complex society that requires highly integrated systems of decision-making, and that a socialist society will have to employ such digital technologies at its very core to support democracy. First of all, okay, democracy we all intuitively understand, and I will come back to it later. But what kind of automation or digital technologies am I even talking about? Well, I started thinking about it very broadly, very generally. Every complex system either falls prey to entropy, goes into chaos, or given enough energy, tends to order itself. And this process of increased complexity and order is the story of life itself on this planet. Bacteria form colonies, animals gather in packs, and people form societies. This is a natural process, and natural is the key word here, of self-organization, where technology plays no role yet, please bear with me. Even language serves the purpose of social cohesion and help us self-organize in this natural way. Then at some point we invented writing, and this is the beginning of a more directed organization, or some sort of code outside of the collective started to be used to organize and run it. This is the beginning of social technology, but it's not yet digital. We'll have to wait a few millennia for that. The very first uses of text and mathematics were to count and record who submitted how much produce as tax, and the rules that govern this process, as well as some resolution of conflicts. So the very first social technologies were used in self-organization to collect and distribute resources within the collective and establish rules of conduct. And actually, all that happened between then and now is nothing more than adding layers of complexity to that same principle, including the invention of money, banks, laws, even government. In this vision, capitalism is also a very natural, so to speak, way to live in a complex society. Having said that, as much as we are fond of all things natural, we still try to limit the influence of nature on our lives by building houses, wearing clothes, and ordering pizzas. And in the same way, we try to limit the natural harm of wild capitalism with labor unions, progressive taxes, and social security and such. Okay, and then at the end of the 20th century, something different happened. And I'm not talking about the internet, although it did help as well. The fundamental difference brought about by the digital revolution is the fact that copying information became so cheap that it is now virtually free, no pun intended. For the first time in history, real value was created without any practical cost associated with it. And this is important, and it goes against the principles of capitalism, which is why we have such strong and ridiculous copyright laws that are still based on protecting Mickey Mouse. This made a lot of things possible that were not even fathomable before. The platform we are using now for this summer school is one such thing. We're not paying for it, as far as I know. I was working on this talk using a Linux distribution entirely free of charge, looking up things in Wikipedia, which is still shamefully supported by donations and not through government. And here I'm finally getting close to the kind of digital technologies that I promised to talk about in the beginning. The kind of technologies that are based on this free creation of value or copying of information, and that increasingly determine the way our society functions. Some are free to use, but most are proprietary code, and so we do not decide how they direct our lives as the code is closed. For example, Zoom and Discord. We all saw how important they were to keep us going during the lockdown. We are increasingly aware of how Twitter and Facebook affect political life. Remember how Trump Jr. recently tweeted about hydroxychloroquine? Drug Trump is advertising that his own medical officials say does not work, and the tweet was removed. Why? Because it was a lie, it was not true. Now imagine a hypothetical situation that a particular medium of communication of a president or a prime minister were the only one available to him or her, and that such tweet removal would be automatic. It wouldn't even be announced. Okay, I can anticipate worries here that we better make sure such new Twitter administrators do not make mistakes themselves. Well, suppose we do achieve this through automation or artificial intelligence. Wouldn't it be overall just so lovely to never hear lies coming from official media? Of course, this is a technology of the future. But the idea is that now these emerging technologies are forming us increasingly. And what we need is to design them from scratch with the right fundamental principles in mind, so that they can instead guide and bring our society together, not apart. State is generally regarded by socialists as a system of enforcing the control of the ruling class onto the proletariat. After we gain control of the government, we will get rid of the state and attain the freedom to self-organize and collectively own and utilize means of production. In the beginning of the 20th century, Lenin wrote that a large part of the social and economic machine created by capitalism can and must form the basis of the socialist society, as it provides connecting glue that allows distribution networks to function. Indeed, organizing a large multi-million strong society based on little more than community ties and self-organization seems like a daunting task. And in his vision of communism, Lenin appears to have prophetically foreseen future networks of distribution powered by sensors, servers, Internet of Things, and edge computing. Yet these technologies were not available at the time. As we know, the control apparatus of the totalitarian state has already been tried, and it's not at all desirable for us. The elegant, logical solution here is to delegate this task almost entirely to automation. We do need a system of databases and accounting that will allow efficient use of resources and collaboration between people. And we don't want to give away control over means of production to the ruling class. A transparent software built on principles of equality and fairness would be a solution. Such a system would, by design, make sure that resources are circulated in a closed loop, local, sustainable way, ensuring high efficiency, minimal waste, and added layers of resilience. Of course, such a system should be flexible enough to be able to develop and grow, but only in the direction of being more efficient and innovative, and never in the direction of eroding these basic principles, equality. I will come back to this idea. Let me just give you two examples of already existing digital technologies and come a little closer to what I have in mind and maybe give you some ideas. One example is collaborative commerce in its most general sense, when people exchange products and services directly by cutting out the middleman entirely as much as possible. For example, through peer-to-peer technology. Maybe something like what eBay could have been, what Airbnb was supposed to be like in the beginning. Or I'm not sure if you all know, there's a Bristol taxi service called Braxy, which is kind of like Uber, but without the Uber. these are still platforms that make money, so not a socialist-friendly idea yet. But this is just an illustration of what can be possible that was not possible before at all. And this is important, that only through such digital self-organization, a group of people can share labor and resources for the benefit of all. It wouldn't be possible without it. For example, through free copying, an online platform to exchange and distribute grown food could potentially not only help completely get rid of money locally, but also be exported everywhere else in the world, easily and without any cost whatsoever. Importantly, such technological platforms would enable people to self-organize and collaborate without the need for political management, which is exactly what socialists want to achieve. The second example of emerging technologies that have the potential to organize society without political structures is smart contracts that use blockchain technology. Okay, I'm not going to go into the details of blockchain, as I do not really understand them all that well myself. So this is just an example of what a smart contract may look like. It's like a normal contract, but digital and automatic and deeply integrated into the financial fabric of the society in the way that you do not need to enforce its outcomes. They just follow automatically. Imagine a real-life situation. I buy an airplane ticket. My flight gets canceled. What do? I start calling the airline company to ask for a refund. If I'm persistent and lucky, after some hours listening to elevator music on hold, unpleasant conversations, maybe I'd get my money back. Now, if we had a smart contract in place, none of this hassle would be even allowed to happen. Everything that happens would trigger the prescribed consequences automatically, so that as soon as the information about the flight cancellation gets into the network, the refund money automatically and immediately appears in my bank account. How does it work? Such are the conditions of the digital contract. Both parties sign, and they're both fair and efficient and unalterable. Again, this is about money fundamentally, so in socialism, different scenarios would work. But we will still need to exchange goods and services, and the technology of blockchain is definitely promising here. So this is just an illustration of how digital automation can effectively eliminate even a possibility of unfair or fraudulent interactions between people, as long as it is based on the right principles and is ubiquitously adopted. Okay, so I hope now people have a somewhat better understanding of what I mean by digital automation and what kind of advantages it can bring. Now, what does it have to do with democracy? Well, here I would like to talk about decision-making, as this is the crux of the problem. In fact, there are multiple problems with democratic decision-making. On one hand, we feel that it is just fair, and we naturally all want to be part of decision-making and to feel that we have a say. On the other hand, let's face it, most countries with large populations that do have democracy have to use representative democracy, where someone else makes these decisions for us. And they are rarely, if ever, what we would choose. We know what we want. And the politicians have access to the current knowledge, science, technology that can potentially give it to us. But they never really ask us what we want, as we want pretty much the same thing. We all want to live happy, healthy, and prosperous lives. They always ask how we want them to give it to us, as if it was not their job to make that decision, to choose the best available how, because they are the ones with access to the best scientific advice and technology, not us. In some rare cases, when we are asked a direct question, like if we want to be part of the EU, the whole thing turns into a farce with widespread advertising, lies, attempts to manipulate public opinion, and even foreign interference. Okay, what if the democratic process was ideally performed? Well, let's say if the majority of people decided that they want to have a calm and prosperous life with unlimited access to natural resources and fossil fuels, and they don't care that their children will have to try and survive on a non-livable planet because of climate change. Would you really want this kind of decision to be honored? Could it be that these people just don't understand what is good for them? This is a tough one, isn't it? But can we really trust our leaders to make better decisions for us? What if the whole process was augmented, enhanced? Kind of like in that example with Twitter filtering all lies, only even better. There's actually a lot of room for incorporation of automation and digital technologies here. I can think of how artificial intelligence, AI, can help too. Clearly, we want to be politically conscious and educated, but we do not want to waste a good part of our lives in politics and decision-making if we don't have to, do we? Imagine if the society just worked automatically, following a good working model, and we didn't have to reinvent the wheel all of the time, and all we had to do was enjoy it and incorporate minor improvements as science and technology became ever more advanced. Again, any digital technologies are merely tools, and as any tool, they can be used for good or for evil. So the principles of quality and fairness should be inbuilt into the very system from scratch, into the very core code of these tools. Similarly to how anything added to a body of work licensed under Creative Commons license must automatically follow the same conditions. So if it was released free of charge, let's say, you can never sell it for profit ever again. So let's take a closer look at decision making and see how it is really done and whether it can be improved with digital automation. It is important to understand that in the political landscape, there are surprisingly few high-level decisions being made at present. I recently looked up all laws released in 2019 by the UK Parliament, and there were 31, just 31, including such titles as Wild Animals in Circuses Act, Holocaust Return of Cultural Objects Amendment, Voyeurism Offences Act, and Parking Code of Practice Act. I mean, I understand that parking correctly is very important indeed, but there just doesn't seem to be a whole lot going on in British Parliament. So we need to understand that a lot of decision-making is already happening at the lower level, undemocratically, simply because they are outside of the political arena and are taken care of by professional body. For example, someone somewhere decided how much our water should be purified before it is safe to drink. And it was probably not a politician, even though in the end the document with standards might have been rubber stamped in Parliament. It was probably a government worker, not an elected one, and they were appointed in most cases, had to be professionally trained and educated before assuming the role. And the decisions they make on a regular basis are not democratic at all. And yet, we are mostly happy with them because they are at least supposed to be based on the best available science. Are we really upset that the government is not asking us to decide the exact admissible levels of dangerous substances in drinking water? Not really. I would actually be scared if this decision was taken democratically, as I wouldn't expect most people to have this knowledge. I certainly don't have it. In the same way, a lot of other decisions are made, and this mostly works well. It is important to understand that when this system fails, like in the case of organizing the country response to the COVID-19 pandemic in the UK, it is not because the underlying science doesn't work, but because other interests are allowed to override decisions based on science. For example, sticking with the same topic of water, in 2019, water companies discharged raw untreated sewage into England's rivers 200,000 times. The law only allows such discharges after torrential rain to avoid flooding houses. But companies abuse this loophole because it is cheaper for them. What could solve this problem, short of a socialist revolution, of course, is a computerized digital system that would make decisions based on our agreed-upon principles of public safety and equality in real time, taking the human element or financial interests out of the loop entirely. Here we come back again to the same topic. Digital automation can help run complex societies with less and less political management and capitalist influence. As long as we ourselves design these systems from scratch based on the principles of quality. Okay, I can already anticipate questions there, like who will come up with those principles? Some people are more equal than others and so on. Or how can you really delegate decision-making to a machine? Well, think about simpler systems for now. A good example to understand such a decision-making system at work or how it makes these decisions, so to speak, would be to start with an older technology we already have, which we do not put in doubt. For example, when a calculator gives us the result of multiplication, do we check if it is correct? No. We're so used to the fact that it simply works every time. This is a simple procedure, right? Well, placing a call to another smartphone is actually quite some sequence of procedures. And yet, do you doubt that the next time you call your partner, you will actually reach your partner? In a similar way, much closer to the way an artificial intelligence, for example, would work. Sometimes we compare how to get to some destination by car and are surprised by what Google Maps advises, and then get confirmation that a route calculated by Google Maps is, in fact, really the best one, even though we often cannot see how the system made this decision. This is actually one of the first real uses of artificial intelligence and machine learning in real time. Yes, it is a black box. And no, we do not really know exactly how it works. But we don't really need to. And crucially, we can always check through other indirect means if it is still correct. And so we slowly learn to trust it and just follow its advice and reap the benefits. A similar system of machine learning-based decision-making could revolutionize political organization of a socialist society. The next biggest disruptive digital technology on the horizon is automated intelligence. And it is going to displace countless office workers. Just like machines during the Industrial Revolution, artificial intelligence systems will soon bring automation to simple office tasks. And redundancy is going to be widespread on the level we have not seen before. What can we do with this prospect looming large? I say, instead of being afraid of new digital technologies, we should instead cast away our Promethean shame and embrace them and use them to our advantage. How? Well, coming back to the question of how decisions are made by politicians, they say they are led by our best interests and that they follow scientific advice. Yet when we do elect politicians, we do not vote on what we want, as this is relatively stable. It does not change much. We all want prosperity, equality, good quality of life, and so on. What we vote for, in essence, is who can give us that, even though they fail to give us what we all want year after year. What we need to do is to further eat away from their mandate by more and more automation and the principles of equality and fairness. in essence, by automating politics, they are allowing us to become obsolete. Well, we should just return the favor and do the same to them. And this will be the dawn of the socialist society. Thank you very much. This is the end of my talk. And now I would be happy to take any questions.